And that's in John chapter 14, verse 6.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
All right, we want to welcome all of our family to Wednesday Live. It is right now about 11 o'clock, a few seconds past, and we have a great day scheduled, and I want to just start out by welcoming the team that's in the studio. Karen, great to have you with us this morning.
Good to be here.
David, great to have you with us.
And also, I join Karen in that feeling. It's great to be here.
Both of you are well-known from our family. Both of you have programs that you actually lead here and host at WCNO, and that's great. David, you have a Monday morning, 11 o'clock.
Monday morning of the Front Line.
Front line. Tuesday morning.
A Biblical Response.
Biblical Response, and you guys are digging into a lot of stuff.
Yes.
So phone calls are coming in. And so, Karen, you have a program on Friday at 11 o'clock every week.
I do, and that program is Hidden Places, but I might change it to Friday Live.
Friday Live.
Friday Live.
Because we never know what we're talking about.
Right.
Well, but you go.
It is alive.
It is.
It's very much alive.
It is very much alive.
And you have a growing family of listeners for sure. And also want to welcome Stuart Fakita is with us in the studio today as well. Stuart, welcome. And we're going to be
hearing. Thank you.
We'll hear a little more from you in a little bit.
Amen.
And now we're going to go to our phone because we have a wonderful guest, returning guest, that's been with us on air several times, Dr. Bree Keaton. Dr. Keaton, welcome.
Oh, hello. It's great to be here.
Well, it's great. You've actually been in the studio with us at least once and probably more times back in the past when the Hiltons were here. But welcome, Dr. Keaton. I know that some of our listeners will recognize your name right away and others probably will not. We do have a little bit of an echo. It sounds like there's a radio on or something in the background. Is that on our end or on your end? Okay.
I don't have a radio.
Okay. Now it's clear. Whatever it was, it's clear now. But Dr. Keaton, you have been given a mission and a mandate from the Father, and tell us a little bit about that.
Pastor, it's going on 16 years now that I've been working in the Congo with the little pygmies. And so well over 80,000 saved. It's more like 100,000 now. But I lost count at 80,000. So they run. You can't count them that fast. Anyway, I've had the greatest honor and delight of my life just being a servant to the least of these. On this planet, on Earth, our planet, there is no more persecuted, horrifyingly genocided group than the tiny little pygmies in the Congo. But I've found them to be the most wonderful people I ever met. And just getting to know them is like so special. Most people in Africa don't even think they exist right there in Africa. And the others think they're, you know, just animals. Literally, they think they're animals. So they hunt them, they murder them, they eat them. Mm. Roast them right in front of their own families, if you can believe it, and pin them like critters, you know. But we've been changing that for 16 years, changing the perception, working with the government, working with local dignitaries and so on. So gradually this is all changing, and the pygmies are learning the Bible. You know, it was remarkable. People always want to know, well, did you preach the gospel? Of course, first time in, they all get saved, and then they all want to learn to read and write. Now, that's been a challenge, but what we have done is take a little instrument called a proclaimer in for each tribe, and they listen to the Word of God every night around their campfires. Now, this is remarkable. I wonder if anybody listening can say you've memorized the whole New Testament and can quote it.
Mm.
I bet nobody. I know one person that memorized all of Revelation, and it took him like 5 or 6 months to do it. But the pygmies memorized the entire New Testament. They just sit around listening to it every night. And when I come back, all their songs and dances are straight out of the Bible. They remake everything they do and center it around the Bible. Isn't that remarkable?
Dr. Keaton, you're saying that they literally memorize the entirety of the New Testament?
Yes.
That is amazing.
They have their senses are trained differently than yours and mine. Their sense of hearing is so acute that they can identify any animal or any movement in a forest. This is just life-saving stuff and stuff so they can hunt and gather. But now they use it for the glory of God. They literally memorize the whole New Testament.
Wow.
And then when I come back, songs and dances all about the Bible. They'll act little plays out. I mean, they just do this spontaneously because they fall in love with Jesus. I think my point here is all of us, we might look down on people who live by bow and arrow in a jungle, naked. They live in trees. And we might say, oh, yeah, well, maybe they are like animals. But they're not. They're so beautiful and so in love with Jesus that now that the extreme persecution has begun for the pygmy people, they are being hunted and murdered, beheaded, raped, eaten by the jihadist rebel soldiers, and they've murdered thousands of them now. So there's a war in the Congo that people aren't aware of because it's not in the news. Nobody knows. But as recently as the 12th of this month, February, 70 Christians were murdered in a church. They were beheaded by the jihadist rebels. Now, that has made the news. Have you guys heard about that?
Yes, we did hear about that. In fact, I was going to ask you about that because one of our congregants asked if those were pygmies or not, if these were people you work with or so I'm glad you're speaking to that. Tell us about it.
Well, I how can I not speak about this? It's an atrocity, 70 murdered for their faith. Now, you take that 70 and the whole world that hears about it will rise up and say, oh, what a tragedy. Oh, isn't this terrible? But you see, I knew those people. I know them. I know everyone in that region, one way or another, having been in there 16 years. This is the Ebola and North Kivu region. And the big city there with 16 million, I might be wrong on that number, but it's a lot of people, Goma, that's East Congo. And out of there is Bunia, Beni, Bukavu, that whole region. I have many, many pygmies that I've led to the Lord in that region. Now, you have to understand the Congo, you could fit 3 of Texas into the Congo easily. That's how big it is. So there's every kind of environment that you can imagine. There's mountains, there's swamps, there's forests, there's jungles, there's savannas, everything. So the pygmies live in various environments. But the big Africans there are so poor that they just live in hovels. But they all have gradually come to Jesus, and part of that is because the pygmies themselves have become evangelists, and they've gone around and won many big Africans who actually hate them. They've won them to Jesus. So we have communication with all. I get reports daily, and I get pictures and videos every 2 to 3 days, so I'm very up on what's happening. Now, 70 Christians slaughtered is tragedy, but it's been happening for two solid years. I've had to rescue the pygmies in there, run them out in the night in the jungle to escape the rebels attacking them. This has been going on 2 years, and I've been hiding them in secret conclaves. They literally been living under tarps, hiding from the rebels. But the jungles all around are crawling with these jihadist rebels now. By the way, they're funded out of the Middle East. And their true purpose there is to take over the east part of the Congo, which is a vast region, for the gold, the diamonds, and now for the lithium, the copper, the tungsten. So it's actually a battle to get to the natural resources. America has troops in there. You never read that in your newspaper, I'm certain. But we're in there too. And all the big countries in the world are in there all trying to grab up the stuff. So this is why it's all been kept a secret. Yet, jungle there, the whole of the Congo is the most dangerous war zone on the planet. There are over 150 armies fighting in there. So when I tell you that hundreds and hundreds of pygmies have been slaughtered for their Christian faith, and I've been protecting them and keeping refugee places, feeding, housing, clothing, bringing them medicine, hiding them, trying to keep them all from being murdered. For at least 2 years, this has been going on. And the tragedy is so great. When I hear about 70 murdered, it's like grievous. But to think of the thousands that have been murdered, and nobody cares, because they're the least of these, the most helpless, and yet the most faithful to the Lord that I've ever seen. I've been in 50 countries. I've been all over the world. I've been to nearly every continent, and I have never seen the kind of faith and love of the Lord that I've witnessed with God's dear little people, his precious little pygmy bride, and they are truly the least of these.
Dr. Keaton, you are going to be in Palm City this Sunday. You're actually going to be in our fellowship. And if someone's listening today would like to find out more about the ministry that God has put on your heart, I know that a lot of times you found yourself sort of standing alone. But you will be sharing in our Sunday morning service. That will be at 9:30 at Abundant Life. That is 770 Southwest 34th Street. Remember 34th Street, the miracle on 34th Street. We're right here.
Oh, that's good.
we are in Palm City until we get into get our church built over on Willoughby Boulevard. But 770 Southwest 34th Street, 9:30 a.m. in Palm City, right this coming Sunday morning. Dr. Keaton, we're looking forward to having you with us. Just a quick question. We still have a few minutes.
Can I give out my website?
Please do.
Reach me. You can actually communicate with me through the website if you sign up on there. Then you can write me notes and I can answer and so on. It's worshipingwarriorsfellowship.com. There's two P's in worshiping. So it's www.worshipingwarriorsfellowship.com. Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, how did you end up in the Congo working with pygmies? I mean, you're from the States. First time I met you, I believe it was here at the studio, and I'm thinking, okay, God's going to send a lady to the Congo. It just, God does things like that. But how did you end up there?
Well, my mama tried her best to raise a lady. It just didn't take. But, you know, when I came into ministry, I came out of the world. I was a musician and traveling musician. My brother and I had a band, and we were a warm-up act for big-name rock stars, and we also had a nightclub act. So we actually worked in Florida quite a bit. But there came a day when I came to Jesus, and it wasn't too long till I started writing songs about Jesus and had a Christian band and started being asked to minister all over the area where I live, which is Kansas City. And then we started getting radio airplay on our songs and stuff. So that's what happened. Then I was asked by the Lord to begin preaching and teaching because I was studying the Bible, eventually got my doctorates. So now I thought, oh, this is what I'll do. You know, I'll sing, I'll preach, it'll all be great. And then God spoke to me in an audible voice, and he said, Amazon. I said, Amazon? Yes, Amazon. So I looked into that, and next thing you know, I got a call out of the blue. Would you come to the Amazon and speak at our pastor's conference? Well, yes, I will, but I want to ask one thing. Do you have a boat? And the guy said, yes, I have a boat. I said, does it leak? He said, oh, no, it doesn't leak. He lied. It leaked. But I went down there, and that was that. I fell in love with the Amazon. Now, see, that's South America. So I was working down there with the natives in the deep jungles. We'd go, you know, find them and lead unreached villages. So it was then that God spoke to me in an audible voice, and he said, pygmies. And so I looked into it. 2 weeks later, he said in an audible voice, go to the pygmies. So I began packing my bags, and it wasn't too long. I had some money raised, and I went off to find me some pygmies. And lo and behold, when I got to the border with seven other people, I just rounded them up, people I knew, and we walked up this big hill dragging our luggage, and at the top, there were four soldiers in camo with machine guns screaming at us, and the long and the short of it, they unloaded their machine guns at me, and I screamed out a scripture, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and all the bullets fell in the dirt at my feet. Now that was my intro to the Congo.
that's pretty dramatic.
That was the welcome party.
Wow. Well, Dr. Keaton,
after that,
we're out of time, but we're going to have time Sunday morning, and you're going to be with us right here in Palm City at 770 Southwest 34th Street. One more time for people who are looking to make connection with you. God's touching their hearts this morning, and they have a burden to reach a group of people that are kind of the forgotten ones. Again, your webpage.
Oh, it's Worshiping with two P's, worshipingwarriorsfellowship.com. And I'll look forward to seeing everybody on Sunday morning.
All right. Well, Dr. Keaton, thank you so much for taking a few moments out of your morning. And thank you for your service to the Lord and your service to the pygmies. And it is an amazing story. And so glad that that you're going to be with us right here on the Treasure Coast come Sunday morning.
Well, I'm sure looking forward to it. God bless you all.
God bless you. Thanks again. Goodbye.
Okay, bye.
Wow.
Powerful. Powerful.
Awesome.
Dedication to God.
Work
for sure.
Of God.
You know, I haven't had anyone after she speaks say, I want to sign up to go to the Congo with you. You know, after she shows the pictures and tells some of the stories of what's happened over there. But you know this, Stuart, until you get on the front line, you're not going to see the miracles that happen on the front line.
That's right.
You really
That's
have right. to get out of your easy chair, your lazy boy. You're going to have to get out of your, you know, sitting on the precious promises and get out into the grit and the grime and the dirt that's in the world. And once you get out there, you're going to find out that God starts showing up in an amazing way.
All the time.
Now, Stuart, you had a little big house time, didn't you?
I spent 11 months St. Lucie County's finest.
Okay.
I call it the greatest church in the world because... You know, where else do they truly feed you, clothe you, they escort you around, they give you silver jewelry, you know, bracelets and everything.
Yeah, I mean, right,
you know,
right.
You know, they do everything the church is supposed to do, right? I mean, isn't that the way we're supposed to roll?
You're going to want to hang on, everyone, family, you want to listen in, because Stuart's going to be with us in just a few moments. We're going to be, he's going to be sharing a story that absolutely shook me to my core. And it has to do with the LGBTQ community and the power of God to actually change lives. And some of you may be listening today And we know that anyone who has a confused gender identity or any other situation going on in your life, trans or anything else, that God has a plan for your life that that you're going to want to find out about. And so we're going to be right back in just a moment. Going to play a song. Going to reach out to a dear friend and pastor, Dr. Curry, who has a program with us Monday through Friday. Give you a little updated news, some great news from him, and hopefully we'll get him online. There's a name that can silence. All right, Todd the Plumber, this is your song. Hope you're listening. There's a love that embraces the heartache, the pain, and the tears. Through my faith and my doubting, I know one thing for sure. His word is unfailing, his promise secure. Todo va a estar bien, everything will be alright. Whole world's in his hands, your whole world's in his hands. In the darkness and the trials, he's faithful and he is true. The whole world's in his hands, y todo va a estar bien. Oh, 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 oh. Everything will be alright. Oh, oh, oh. Father, you say everything's gonna be alright, but my circumstances say I won't last through the night. I need your word to hold me now, I need you to pull me through. I need a miracle, a breakthrough, I need you. They say you hold the whole universe in your hand, but my world's falling apart like it is made of sand. Am I small enough to slip through the cracks? Can you take my broken pieces and put them back? Give me faith to believe you are on my side. Open my eyes and see you working in my life. Let the past remind me you'd never fail, and tell my soul it is well. Oh, y todo va a estar bien. Everything will be alright. The whole world's in his hands. Your whole world's in his hands. In the darkness, in the trials, he's faithful and he's true. Your whole world's in his hands. Y todo va a estar bien. All right, and I'll tell you what, whatever's going on in your life today, I want to remind you that the whole world is in God's hands, and God is able and desiring to interact and engage your life today if you need to have that kind of a contact, and all of us do, all of us do. I'm hopeful that I have Pastor Curry, Dr. Curry, with me on the phone. Dr. Curry, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, sir.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are a solid part of this ministry, Monday through Friday, preaching the Word of God. And I have to tell you, I never, even if I get to hear one of your messages more than one time, it never fails to stir up some fresh faith in me. You are a brother I love. You have some exciting news, and Amen. We want to bring it to our family today.
Praise God, yes. Thank you, first of all, and hello to the WCNO family, the greatest radio station on this side of the equator.
Yay! Yay! Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Amazing. When you're feeling down, you want a word to lift you up, it's right there. It's amazing. Amen. Or a song that just blesses you. But I've been a part of you guys for quite a while and really impressed to see, and I'd love to see on the other side of this earth, how many souls were brought into the kingdom through the radio station.
Amen.
It's going to be amazing.
Amen.
And so it's wonderful what you're doing, and I greet all of your listeners, wherever you might be. And I know someone heard me the other day in Miami on the radio station.
Yes, that's right. We reach into Miami.
That's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So it's a really powerful station. So God bless you all. Well, my good news is, for me anyway, it's extremely good news. We are going back to tradition town hall in Port St. Lucie. And our start date is going to be the 16th of March. That's just a couple of weeks away. And we're going to be holding services there every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. The reason why God gave me 8 a.m. is because I know a lot of people want to go out after a service and, you know, go to the golf course or go spend time with family or barbecue or fishing. So 8 a.m. is a good time for us. Plus, it gives me time to get back down to Oleander and do a service there at 10 o'clock. And so we're very excited. We had a lot of members. We still have a lot of members from that area. And we're looking so forward to reuniting and hooking up with all the wonderful folks in that area. And, the 16th of March, 8 a.m., Tradition Town Hall. We're back, Christ Family Church. Not Christ Fellowship, this is Christ Family Church. Amen? And Amen. We're back, so praise God. We're very excited about that, sir.
Pastor, that's tremendous. So actually, you are at Oleander. That service will continue. That's a 10 a.m. service at 5200 Oleander Avenue. But you will be at the Tradition Town Hall as of March the 16th, every Sunday, 8 a.m. to 9, and that is located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie. And your webpage, what's your webpage for people that want to just pull that up and find out more about you guys?
Yes, sure, thank you. It's ChristFamilyChurch.net.
ChristFamilyChurch.net. N-E-T. Yep. Excellent, excellent. So, Pastor, what is God saying to you? We've got a couple minutes with you here. What's God putting on your heart?
To be honest with you, he's been talking to me a lot about getting close and having that intimate, personal relationship with him. Because you know what the problem is? We've got we understand it as a sort of a doctrine that we're seated together with him. Christ, together with Christ, and we say positionally we're seated there. But experientially, we can enjoy every moment of every day in the presence of God. So he's put that on my heart. And so I've been searching hard after God, and it's so beautiful. Our church is getting so on fire. And the other thing he's put on my heart is he said, don't slack off, don't sit back and relax. Because a lot of people are thinking, that, well, now we've got a new administration, and so maybe we've got a little bit more time. Whichever way you go, I don't know. The other way you may think it's closer, but we might have a little bit more time, and people will rest on their laurels and sit back and think, okay. But you've got to remember, God says, I'm going to come back when you least expect it. Mm-hmm. So many people, I believe Christians, are sitting back thinking, okay, we've got a new president, and there's more freedom of speech, and, stuff like that, and we're going to have that voice again, etc. And we might be relaxing. And God said, I'll come back when you least expect it. We were, many people expecting it over the previous few administrations. Mm-hmm. And now they may be thinking, well, we've got a bit of a break now. Maybe it's a little bit of time to get people saved and brought back into the kingdom. But could this be the time where a lot of people are sitting back thinking, okay, and this is when we least expect it? So my message to everybody right today is get an intimate relationship with God and stay ready. Don't wait to get ready. You've got to be ready in order not to have to get ready when the groom returns for the bride.
Amen. Pastor, I was just talking with someone about this, that the scripture does not say when the whole world is going down the tube and everyone is on their face crying out to God that Jesus is going to come back. It actually says when peace, mm-hmm. when they're crying peace and safety, sudden mm-hmm. destruction will come. And so, when things are tough, many times people cry out to God because they're feeling the pinch. But when the pressure begins to be lifted a little bit, and actually God had to warn Israel through Moses about that. Once you get in the land, the battle's not over. The giants aren't all dead. Once you get in the land and your fields are full and your bellies are full, and that is the time that you need to be really careful. Don't ignore God at that time. And we just had Amendment 4. That was a big fight. That was a victorious fight. Praise God. But the enemy has not left, has not given up. He's still got a strategy. And it's time for us to, I'm with you. Get into the Amen. Presence of God and listen to what he's saying and get out and do the work that God's given us to do while we have time.
Amen. Amen. Praise Amen. God.
Well, again, we want to promote the fact, Dr. Curry, that you are, your church, Christ Family Church, as of the 16th of March, write this down, tell your friends, call your neighbors, let them know that right there at Tradition Town Hall, Christ Family Church is going to have an 8 a.m. service, giving you time to get out to lunch before the Baptist and have breakfast with your friends and have a Bible study in your neighborhood. Oh, do boy. Something for God.
And then I like that. Yeah, we're gonna get there before the Baptist.
I'm gonna have my Baptist pastor friends call me and say, "What are you talking about?"
I got a lot of Baptist friends. Right? Yeah.
love them.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much, and to all your listeners, and to all the people that you interview online. I just pray God continues to bless WCNO and the work that it's producing and presenting the word of faith and truth and the gospel to the people. Now the net is spreading even bigger. I'm so grateful for you guys. Thank you so much. And to all of your listeners, God bless each and every one of you. We love you.
Pastor, would you just lead us in? We have about a minute. Would you just lead us in prayer over our state? And we're going to be just in prayer with you that God will just bring in a whole fresh new harvest as you move back with this 8 a.m. service at the Tradition Town Hall. I believe God is really leading you in this.
Amen. Thank you. I'll do that with prayer. It's just a privilege. So, Father, we just come before you today, and we give you all of the praise, Amen. All of the honor, and all of the glory. Amen. We lift up the precious and the powerful and the mighty name above every name of thank Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you rule over the state of Florida, Jesus. And indeed you rule over the whole of the United Amen. States of America. We just thank you, Lord, that we submit and surrender our will, ourselves, to you, not our will be done, but yes, yours Jesus. Be done, dear Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you touch people's hearts, minds, and lives, especially in our leadership, Father God. Touch them so that they turn to you, they turn to Jesus Christ, the Savior, and they get their lives in order with you, Lord. I pray, Father God, that this message goes out to all of the people in this nation. Amen. We just need Jesus.
Amen.
We need Amen. All about Amen. Jesus. It is all about Jesus, and we just love him. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading, guiding, and directing us. And I just feel in my spirit right now, if anyone needs a prayer on healing, right now, God wants to heal your body yes, right. or your Amen. Mind, yes, wherever yes, you are, yes, yes, in the name God. Of Jesus, by the power of the Holy word. Spirit, and by the stripes Amen. On Jesus' back. Be healed in Jesus Christ's mighty name, Amen. And take what God's presented and prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Be all you're called to be ambassadors for Christ, be healthy, wealthy, thank and you, wise, Jesus. Get wisdom, and above all things, get knowledge and understanding, and the Lord will see to it that you are successful in every endeavor in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen,
brother. Well, my dear brother, God bless you once again. Christ Family Church with Dr. Curry are returning back to the Tradition Town Hall, March the 16th. Get the word out, 8 a.m. service to 9 o'clock. Services will continue at 5200 Oleander Avenue in Fort Pierce at 10 a.m. And so may the Lord bless you, and may every seat be filled, and may the glory of the Lord bring in an awesome harvest, my brother. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Praise God. Well, there's going to be a lot of great things happening there, I know for sure. Well, Karen, you've been quiet.
I have been. I'm just listening, taking it all in. But I will say that, you know, the Baptist situation, I mean, when I first got saved, I had heard that, you know, 40-something years ago, but I was living in the islands. But, you know, the Baptists are very consistent.
They are.
With their message.
They are.
And
they're bringing people to Jesus.
That's right.
Exactly right. Bringing people to Jesus. Yep, yep. And, you know, I remember going to lunch after church, and somebody was trying to witness to somebody else.
Yep, which Amen. Is awesome.
I know. Amen.
Absolutely
beautiful,
awesome.
Beautiful.
Every time I'm out with Daryl Orman, you know, he's way ahead of me. He's already out there, and even if they've already prayed the prayer before, he might have them praying it again, yeah. you know, Amen. Just to make Amen. Sure. Well, Stuart, we want to jump right into to some of your story, and you know, this is kind of a hot topic. We talked yes. a little bit about this at the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance, and you serve with us on that board, and you're a great
yes,
blessing. We thank God for you there. Tell us a little bit about this story of your encounter with...
Well, it goes back about 2009 to start with, when I first began ministering, I should say. I mean, I sober March this year, 20 years.
Thank God.
I minister with Plant a Seed ministry, Plant a Seed on the Water, Sunday mornings. We do 9 o'clock. I'm getting a free commercial.
Yeah, give the address, let people know.
We're at the Causeway Cove Marina in Fort Pierce over the South Bridge. Just look for the yellow roof, and you'll find us next to the boat rental, Salty's Boat Rental over there in the corner. And they're very good people, too, very supportive of what we do. But
and God's moving there.
Absolutely. Moving. There is no doubt about it. Yeah. God is moving over there. You know, we went out there and started about 18 months ago with about 7 people. And, you know, we got several thousand watching online now.
That's awesome.
And probably anywhere from 50 to 100 people Sunday morning. I mean, it's seesaws, you know, because we're there from 9 to 10. We're pretty regimented about our hour because, just like Pastor Jerry said, you know, people got things they want to do. Yep. And I know that we're not supposed to cut the word short, but reality's reality and what people are doing. And we have a lot of people there that, it's funny, I got people pulling in with Porsches and homeless people there, you know what I'm saying? Good. So it's been a true ministry of God over there that is just incredible.
Powerful.
And we get people out there. We don't have anything for children per se, but you know, when people start coming, we'll direct them to local churches that they can get more involved with, or so on and so forth. We are definitely a church that supports the church community.
Sure,
we're definitely part of the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance and building the kingdom. You know what I mean? We're not selfish. Don't touch my sheep kind of people, you know what I mean?
Amen.
And there's certain people that, you know, we specialize in definitely with Pastor Al, with recovery and so on and so forth out there.
A lot of great resources, great ministries.
You know, whatever somebody's suffering from any hurt, habit, hang up, Celebrate Recovery would say, you know, come on out to see us. We'll either get you in the right direction, we'll kidnap you, put you in the program, whatever it takes, we're going to make it happen.
So how did you have this encounter with this?
Well, it started out 2009. Pastor Al had asked me to step up my game in the ministry, which was, you know, I'll give you a Pastor Al quick short note here. Calls me on a Saturday morning and tells me his son Anthony is sick. And I said, good, I'm going to pray for you. He said, great, you're going to preach tonight. I said, what? And ain't no way but jumping in feet first.
Yep.
So within literally weeks of me starting to pastor, if you will, you know, people started calling me Pastor Stu at that point, which I was never big on a title of any sort. A very unique person walked in the door. Because at Plant a Seed, you know, we've got all kinds of people there, all walks of life. We're at Avenue D and 21st Street in Fort Pierce. And at the end of the day, this person walks in who is, quote unquote, a trans. As the world would say, transvestite, whatever you want to call it. It was a man trying to be a woman. This person's name is Shirley. And I'm going to leave it at Shirley because Shirley was very, very instrumental in my walk with God, silly as that might sound. You're talking to a guy that was very prejudiced when it came to gay people and it came to this kind of thing prior to that. And I was actually praying to God leading up to these moments of ministry, saying, God, how could I possibly be a pastor when I have this kind of like somewhat hatred in my heart, to be honest with you? I mean, I was, you know, just being totally honest with you. I didn't speak it out loud. I didn't go out and belittle people on the streets or anything like that. But this was what was inside of my heart. And, you know, as I read the Bible, God calls it out all over. It's sin. It's this. It's that. Well, I was missing one important part. It's not my place to judge. It's my place to love. So Shirley taught me this. And the story is, Shirley walks in on a Saturday evening. First time I ever met him. Unshaved with some bright red lipstick on and a skirt with hairy legs, you know what I'm saying? I mean, just, you know, pretty, not the best of what I would call the makeovers that I've seen through today's times. But walks up and says, I hate Jesus, I hate you, and I hate everything about this place. Shirley had been court ordered there because Plant a Seed Ministry is a court approved, DOC approved facility that, you know, matter of fact, Pastor L won a big award for taking people like this in and trying to help change their lives. But at the end of the day, she walks up and is, and just to embrace my hatred on the inside, I'm saying, God, how could I possibly love somebody like this? This is absurd. This is like a demon-possessed person.
Yeah.
This, not like, is. And I'm over here doing battle with this person, belittling me on the pulpit, and I'm supposed to love this person? Are you kidding me? Well, go on now, fast forward about 2-3 months. And I very rarely do this, but it was a God timing thing that I actually went extra early that day. And I went there because I knew Miss Gloria, who was just a saint. I know she's in heaven, who worked with the women there in a big way, was going to be there earlier. So I went there earlier so I could read up. I wanted some peaceful alone time, you know. My kids were young, and it was time to, like, just a place I can go hide out for a little while to study the word and get ready for the day to come. And I go sit in a little office we had over there at that time, and I wasn't in there 5 minutes, and all of a sudden, Shirley walks in. Now, normally these people aren't, the people that are in the program are not anywhere near the sanctuary. So that's oddly enough, she had ridden her, rode her bike there. So Shirley comes in and says, "Pastor Stu," which shocked me in awe right there. "May I come in and have a word with you?" Well, of course I said, "Okay, come on in." You know, reluctantly, I'm like, "Here we go," you know. Well, Shirley walks in, closes the door, and locks the door. I'm like, whoa, gonna get deep now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This person sits down at the desk, and tears start rolling down Shirley's face. And Shirley looks at me and says, "Thank you for bringing me to Jesus." She goes, "You really broke a barrier in my life that nobody else has been able to do." And I said, "Well, surely that's the Holy Spirit. That's not me." She goes, "No, you have a heart." And I'm thinking to myself, I have a heart. I hate your guts. You know what I'm saying? I have a heart. I hate your guts. You know what I mean? This is just where the reality of life is, you know? And I noticed that moment because Shirley, I hadn't noticed it before, had Marine tattoo on her arm, which really, that moment caught my attention. And Shirley says, "Might I talk to you about how I got to where I'm at? Because you're probably wondering." Well, funny thing is, I always did say, how does a person get to this point?
Right.
How does this even happen? We're not born with two ideas and two gender. Nonsense to anybody that wants to hear it, all right? Nonsense. Shut the state of California down and just, you know, and I'm not just picking on them, but I'm picking on everybody that wants to believe in that kind of nonsense, because that's nonsense. Shirley says to me, "It all started when I was about 4 or 5 years old. I don't even really remember the date, if you will. But Shirley was perpetually raped by her father and uncle." His father was a little boy at this time.
Wow.
So keep this in mind. So this person gets basically broken, a broken spirit, right from jump. And I'm thinking, wow, this is horrible. You know, and it is horrible.
It is, yeah.
It's horrifying. And my heart started to warm up. You know, we were at a definite iceberg ice cube when Shirley walked in, and I mean, I'm just like, it starts wearing on me. And Shirley says, "I was raped, I was passed around, I was never accepted in school. Of course, I always felt like I was different than everybody else because of my situation." And I would even ask other kids, "Is this something that happens to you in life?" And then the word got out that, you know, weird stuff, just trying to identify with where you're going in life, and is this how life is supposed to be, and that kind of pain and that kind of trauma and all that good stuff. So Shirley tells me, at 17 years old, this person is a Vietnam veteran, tells me that at 17, went and signed up for the draft to get right in as fast as 18, 17, whatever it was, but got right in. Shirley did 3 tours of Vietnam.
Wow.
And 3 tours of Vietnam that they tried to almost kick her out a few times, her, him, whatever, on the front line, trying to die. Trying to die. She said, "I wanted to die so bad. I didn't have the guts to kill myself. I'd had a gun in my mouth. I had a razor blade going to cut my wrist and just wanted to die, and I could not die. So I go to Vietnam figuring, let me run away. I'm over here in the jungle with people I don't know." And Of course, I mess up my relationship with everybody by putting the rest of my people on in trouble because I was doing stupid stuff and people just couldn't believe that I had survived, how many times I had been shot at and how many times I had gone into places where I shouldn't have been, and you know,
right,
just
sure,
absolutely no fear of death, willfully ready to die. So Shirley says, you know, after doing that, I did finally get kicked out on the third term because I almost got a whole platoon killed for uncovering their area because she was out doing what she did. But she said, I come home. I come fly back into California, and I get off the plane, and I go to leave, and I have nowhere to really go, she says. It's not like I'm going home. I'm not going near my dad or my family or nobody. I don't know what became of all of that, and that they never did. She never did tell me. But she said, Pastor, I just put my life on the line for this country. I know I wanted to die, but the mistreatment, I had feces thrown in my face when I came back. And I'm saying to myself, what am I coming home to? I left this hoping to die, hoping coming back. And then I do come back. First thing that happens, I'm getting spit on and being called a baby killer and all this other stuff and feces thrown at me. And she went on to even say, you know, there was a lot of guys there that didn't want to be there, for sure. Right. Nobody wants to be in a war zone. I mean, come on, let's face it. And these guys are putting their butts on the line for their freedom, and they're over here acting like fools. I mean, these are the same people that think there's probably two sets of somehow you're born with whatever you feel like you want to do. But so Shirley went on to become an alcoholic and a drug addict, if you will, you know, throughout the years to come, and ultimately got in some trouble. Worked her way to Plant a Seed Ministry and came and met me. Well, at this time, God is pressing on my heart. Well, Shirley's talking to me, and I mean pressing on my heart. I got tears running down my face now because I didn't just feel bad for Shirley. I felt bad for me.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I was like, what kind of fool am I? Because I really don't know what this person been through to drive this person there.
Right, right.
And Shirley said, you know, you always treated me with some dignity and respect. And I didn't really get that. I wasn't rude, but I wasn't nice. I was just stoic as how you doing and all that good stuff. But she said, most people right away want to judge me for who I am and what I have become. And she says, I don't want to be who I was growing up. I didn't want to be a man anymore. I just wanted to be, I figured I was meant to be a girl because of my father's abuse and the things that happened in life. She said that it was this change that she wanted to go through and change and half-wittedly doing it. Shirley said, I really want to get saved. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Of course, I prayed with Shirley. And she says, I want you to know, Stuart, that God really did a work through you for me. Mm-hmm. And I earned a respect and love because I came to the place of understanding as we look in Romans 1, it talks about homosexuality and all the sin that it brings on. Very clearly, no less. Yes. It's not distorted. We don't rip pages out of the Bible here. But it also says in Romans 2 that we are not the authority to do the judging neither. We as pastors, we as family-loving Christians, we don't even have to be a pastor. Everybody's a pastor, in my opinion. Everybody that loves Jesus ought to be representing what Jesus is. Not, well, it's your job. It's not. It's every Christian's job. Jesus bled for everybody, not just for pastors. Jesus bled for everybody. He even bled for those people, the people that are out there that are confused and mixed up or whatever you want to call it, because I came to that place where I really came to like this person. I mean, just I felt the love. I felt the heart there. And if you would ask me 4 months prior to that, no way would something like that happen. But when we sit back and let God do the judging and we do the loving, because that's what we're commissioned to do, then God will do that work in us. And, you know, to finish the story out, funny thing, several months later after that, I was on I do a lot of highway work with my job, and I was doing a DOT job on Okeechobee Road, Fort Pierce, and it was a rainy day, so we had a job we were finishing. We needed to do a final, so I threw two inspectors in my Tahoe at the time, So let's run out to the island, inspect the other job. Maybe when we get back, it'll stop raining to finish the project out. Well, on our way back, it's pouring rain. You know Florida rain. When I say pouring, it's coming down.
Right.
Cats and dogs.
Right.
And I'm driving down Orange Ave west, and right off of US 1, and I look over to my right, and who do I see but surely like a drowned out rat. Makeup all running down his face, unshaved, you know, and with pushing a bicycle, mini skirt on. And I pull over, and these two DOT inspectors are like, "What are you doing, man?" I said,
"Oh, no.
I got to help somebody." And
wow.
I popped the back of the Tahoe open, and I threw her bike in the back, and I said, "Come on, Shirley." I said, "Where are you going?" She said, "To the bus stop over by McDonald's." She said, "As a matter of fact, I'm going to leave my bike there because I've got a ticket to Miami to go to a veterans place for some mental help and continue her work on whatever she was doing at that time." And you want to see the look on these two guys' face when I put her in the truck or him in the truck. You know what I'm saying? And we drive over there and I get out, give her a little bit of money. You know what I mean? And they're like, "Whoa." I said, it ain't like there's something funny going on here. This is what we do. This is what Jesus people do. This is what Christians do. We're not embarrassed to reach out and love anybody because you're standing there. We're not embarrassed to go do God's work because it's pouring down rain. We're not embarrassed by nothing. We got to do God's work in the hurricane. We got to do God's work amongst the most prissiest people there are.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. If we're not willing to do, Jesus died on that cross in front of rich people, poor people, powerful people, everybody. Right. It didn't matter to him.
Right.
He bled anyways. Buried, and nonetheless, with a couple of criminals, you know. And so at the end of the day, God really did a big change on my heart in that part. And I share this because, again, I was a very prejudiced person when it came down to it. And we don't know what people are going through. I mean, I do not endorse one bit of homosexuality at all.
Right.
I mean, I don't.
Right.
I agree with what the Bible says about the sin of it all and that you will go to hell. But it is our job as Christians to show people through love.
Yeah.
Because one of the things I hear from a lot of people from the LGBT community is how us Christian people hate them.
Yeah.
And they've probably got a good reason to say that, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that display, "You're going to hell." Well, the last I knew, God didn't put me on the pay rate to be the judge in heaven. You know what I'm saying? I haven't gotten that far in the pay rate yet. You know what I mean? He hasn't said, "Hey, Stu, you start sending me an email every week about who's going to go to heaven and who isn't, who you encounter in the week, and you know, all the dirt on them."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We are not in that position. We can't lose sight of that as Christians. It is our job to show people
the truth.
They will. That's right. To show them the truth that they ultimately have continued to live this way, especially after learning to know the knowledge of what the power of Christ is. You're going to be heading in the wrong direction, unfortunately. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And it's, you know, it breaks my heart because I got a lot of friends that are now, you know, that I've learned that I love that and I care about them, that they're not living their lives correctly. And I want to bring them, you know, all the way before the cross, but they know what the truth is. And they know they're suffering inside, whether it's a mental disorder or implemented by man. And, you know, the serpent told Eve that it was okay to go eat the fruit, right?
Right, right.
And so Eve went over to Adam, and Adam didn't be, let's stick up for Adam, let's stick up for Eve here. Adam wasn't the man of the house that he was supposed to be, that God ordained him to be, and it said, "Oh, okay, Eve, that's a good idea. Let's just go with it." You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, we got to just love on God. We're not susceptible. We're not away from sin. We're susceptible to it all the time. And it's our job to bring people to the foot of the cross.
Yeah.
It's our job to do that as Christians, not just pastors. It's our job, no matter whether you're in Walmart or wherever you're at, it's our job to do that.
To bring them. So you got her to the bus station.
Yep. And that was the last time I saw Shirley.
So Shirley at that point, it was trying to get additional help.
That's exactly what she told me. And I gave her a little bit of money. She actually said, "I got a ticket. I don't need your money," you know, because at that point, I knew the person had been sober, because there ain't no drug addict in the world that was going to say, "Oh, here, give me your money." You know what I'm saying? Sure. You're offering money, usually they're going to take it quick. You know what I mean? That's definitely an A1 situation that happens. And you know, a plant a seed ministry. We've had quite a few people in there that unfortunately are them down that road that have been able to turn their lives around and get their life together and going on the right track. And it's not always easy, but and sometimes it's tough work around people when you know what their history is. But you know what? That's not my place again to judge. It's my place to love. You know. Yeah.
So did Shirley end up in the latter conversations share a desire to actually have healing in her life? And
well, when I had the later conversations with Shirley, because we spoke a lot after that Saturday afternoon meeting, but absolutely had the desire to grow closer to God. Absolutely knew that she needed further help. Professional help, whatever it might be. Maybe she needed some meds. I mean, I'm not a big guy about meds, but whatever it is, this person definitely needed help. But surely, through the power of God's love over my heart, I believe, encouraged this person to want to do the right thing. Because when I'm telling you, when I met her in the very beginning, nasty, mean, not nice. And I hope she's somewhere hearing this message somewhere, because she'll know what she's talking. You know, she'll know why I'm talking about her.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I mean, if God, I asked God to change my heart about this, because I was getting grief from some other people about my nasty attitude towards it, some family members, no less, that are not in the LGBT community whatsoever.
Right.
But they were like, Dad, you need to get over yourself, you know? And my daughter, you know, would just be on my case. So, but at the end of the day, we're able to help a lot of people over there with this, and Shirley certainly became what I call my friend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And obviously, I wasn't embarrassed, even with some business constituents in the truck, you know what I'm saying,
to
pull over and say, we're going to help people, you know what I mean? And I like I told those guys, Jesus loves you and so do I, you know what I mean? It's just, you said, if you guys were on the side of the road, I'd stop and pick you up all the same, you know, even if you failed me on an inspection, you know what I mean? It's not about that. It's about, which I never did fail an inspection, by the way, but that's but at the end of the day, it's really about love, the power of love that we have, that God's given us. That power channeled in the right way can help save so many people, so many things. It's not even funny. I mean, it is powerful.
You know, Stuart, when I was young, I realized that some Christians would like to clean the fish before you catch them.
Oh, amen. I like that saying. I like that. Yeah.
You know, because it's messy. It's dirty.
Yes, it is.
It's challenging. It challenges our comfort zones. It really rocks our boat. But think about Jesus walking up to that cemetery with that mad, demonically possessed person.
Amen.
Do we not need to remember that the cross is where the change begins?
That's right.
It's not where the change ends. It's where the change begins. And so God has more for me. I'm still growing in the Lord.
Amen. Me too.
You know, when we know someone, it may be a family member. In fact, I just sense we have some families that have some family members, maybe a son, maybe a daughter, maybe a grandchild, maybe a brother, sister, maybe it's someone in your community, maybe in the marketplace.
No
the
doubt.
Our call is to bring people to Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
And at
That's
the cross, right. the change and the power of God that Amen. Begins to transform us. I mean, you were... we have a couple minutes left. You were actually in the facility yourself.
Yes, I was. Oh, like I said in the beginning, I'm 20 years sober, and, you know, I've been part of Plant a Seed Ministry since 2006. Big part of my recovery, no doubt about it. And Pastor L found me in the dungeon broken in 900 Rock Road, which is the St. Lucie County Jail, in case anybody doesn't know what we're talking about. A4 Dorm 3 I was in, and... you know, he brought me to the foot of the cross.
Amen.
You know, when I met Pastor Rail, he didn't come to me and ask me what my crimes were.
Yeah.
I could have been an axe murderer for all he knew. You know what I mean? He did not ask me what I had done. He asked me if I wanted to get better. And that's something we all got to remember. When we're out there ministering to others and praying for others, it's not about what you did. Do you want to get better?
Yeah.
Because if you want to get better, we can help you. Yeah. If you don't want to get better and you're not sick and tired of being sick and tired, well, come on back. Hopefully you'll make it before you get to judgment day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because not everybody wants to get right. You know what I mean? Not everybody is sick and tired of being sick and tired yet. Not everybody's, you know, people want to go out and still use and want to go live the lifestyle they want to live. And that's their thing, you know? But at the end of the day, you know, we do a lot of things. Like I said, plant a seed on the water at the Causeway Cove Marina. Every Sunday morning at 9 a.m., we're out there for an hour. We're on Facebook, Facebook Live, Plant a Seed on the Water, and also under my Facebook, Stuart Fakita. So if you want to get linked on there, you certainly can, and look at us live, because we found that social media has become a very big tool.
Yes.
We're not using it for anything but for the word of God, the love of God, and bringing the gospel to people.
Awesome.
I figured if the devil can do it, then we can do it too. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's a funny thing. And, you know, God is just so good in what we do. But, yeah, no, I had 8 felonies, 3 misdemeanors. I was certainly a crack cocaine drug addict that didn't know if I was coming or going. And I have subsequently buried 2 children, found a girl.